opinions, baby.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Podcast. Nobody asked for it, but everybody loves. We're the Raymond of Tech Podcast because everybody loves Raymond, right? So this podcast.
Wow,
is,
that's the hookiest shit I've ever heard you come out with.
Okay, boomer.
Well done.
Yes. Anyway, this is not your typical tech podcast, as you can tell, because it's not hosted by a chief twit or I don't know somebody else. It's not hosted by a tech bro for damn sure. We're your hosts here. I'm Phone Boy.
I'm Phoenix.
And I'm Sir Bemrose.
All right.
So just curious, how the hell you been, right? Because it's been a couple weeks since we did this shit show, and we figured the best way to kick this off is kind of touch base with each other, see what everybody's been up to.
Yeah, well, what didn't go out on the show last week, but I did discuss it after the show, is that I had a little bit of a hospital stay. And let me tell you, I went back to work the last couple weeks, and it kicked my ass.
I don't doubt it, man.
Apparently, a month in the hospital does make you lose a little bit of endurance, but I'm not going to go too far into that. Just, today was a recovery day after my week at work.
So is the great ball of sun still shining in the Pacific Northwest?
Oh yes. It's doing that late September thing where it summer is sticking around and just doesn't want to let go. And honestly, people around here are generally okay with that because, you know, summer around here means 75 and the ball of light in the sky is shining and the temperatures are nice. And then the temperature falls off quite a bit in the evening. And it's yet another day where we don't drop into the rainy season, because the moment that starts, you know, fall in the Pacific Northwest, as you're probably aware, lasts, I don't know, about 36 hours.
Something like that. Yes.
And then we're in the rainy season.
Yeah, pretty much. Ironically, one of my Israeli coworkers was actually in Olympia like last week. She did some hiking there or something.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Send my regards.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I told her, I said, well, at least you were there during the time when the weather's still kind of okay. I mean, you're telling me that the weather was good.
It was beautiful enough today that on my day off, I got to do yard work.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, what did we do this? I mean, we did a lot of things this week.
Oh my God, three state. There we go.
Yeah, three state alarm.
Practically, three straight days of getting up, starting on Tuesday, and
all my worst days start with getting up.
And these ones definitely did, because ultimately, I'm sure people noticed on Lotus Effect last week that, and I guess kind of the last couple of weeks, like we haven't been necessarily ourselves, and well, damn if we didn't figure out why.
Yeah, we've been wondering who the hell you've been, to be honest.
Yeah.
Who the hell am I exactly? I don't know.
Well, who I am is a person who dropped her digital forensics class because that weight finally became too much, literally almost cost my relationship with Phone Boy and various other things. Like, I couldn't handle getting up, having to go to this class, bursting into tears, sitting on the stairs, and just absolutely throwing a 2-year-old temper tantrum because I did not want to go. I was like, I'm done. This can't keep going. So I'm going to push that class off until...
She really is well on her way to being a Ben.
Yes, she is. I know. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm pushing that class off.
I mean, that's an important stage in the development.
Yeah. Well, is the temper tantrum stage?
I thought that was pretty normal, actually.
I was going to say, I think I was born to be a Ben, if that's the case.
And you know that, you trust me, you never get out of that stage.
But I'll tell you the situation from my perspective, because she's doing digital forensics, and let's be honest, like, none of this shit existed. I mean, when I graduated college 30 years ago, all this shit didn't exist, right? I mean, the internet barely existed. Well, it existed, but nobody knew about it. And even back in 1973, they were saying we had bad security on the internet, and nothing has fucking changed.
When we were coming up as people in the industry, there was no such thing as digital forensics. It was, holy crap, the database is gone. Can you figure out why? And while you're at it, put a backup, like restore something.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't even begin to talk about trying to troubleshoot a tech issue on a simulator. Literally, the most obscure fucking thing in my life. the computer wouldn't power on. Why? Oh, well, because according to this scenario, the IT people did an upgrade and for whatever reason I still can't figure out, decided to flip the little red voltage switch on the back of the power unit from 120 to 240, and I didn't catch it, so I failed my lab. And of course, it gives you the explanation afterward, and I'm looking at this going, no fucking way.
So they expect you to debug hardware issues too?
This is a hardware.
Hold on. This was A plus hardware. This was not digital forensics. Let me be specific.
Yeah, and by the way, this the A plus hardware class is all online. Of course, my question is, how can they give you a certification in hardware when you're not touching any fucking hardware?
And
that seems like a detail.
Difficult.
I will tell you though that switch is way more dangerous in Europe than it is in the U.S.
Well, for
in the U.S., you just undervolt your hardware and it doesn't work very well. In Europe, the magic smoke comes out.
Well, that's what Phoneboy was saying. He was like, all right, in real time, this fucker would have been smoking if that voltage switch had been flipped, especially because I had to plug it back into the wall, like the power unit and everything. And I'm just going, nothing.
And the smoke is a clue that you get when you're there in person.
Yeah, but it doesn't give you that. It says it just fails to turn on.
Do the online courses have sense of smell coming through the browser?
I don't know.
God, I hope that technology doesn't exist in the browsers.
Oh, no.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Pay close attention to your scent box. What is the problem? Your hard drive's burning.
This is straight up out of Futurama, Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, totally.
Well, it was funny. I remember the old Apple II floppy drive controllers. If you plugged it in wrong, it actually smoked one of the chips on the thing.
Been there.
It was designed, way
back in the day. One of my first computing experiments was when I upgraded to an 80286, which was the top of the line processor at the time.
Yeah, this was before it was all about the Pentiums, baby.
Touching the wrong part of the board with one of my brand new memory chips that took me all the way up to 2 megabytes of memory. This was unheard of. It was, where you needed a special DOS driver because it couldn't address more than 640K.
Yeah, you had to have, I forget what the thing was. You had to do something to HiMem.sys or something crap.
You had to load that. And I built this system and, that involved doing things like plugging in the CPU onto the board, et cetera, and plugging in these memory chips. And I touched the memory chip to the wrong part of the board and managed to scrape across traces, and magic smoke came out. And suddenly I find myself waiting 3 more weeks for a new motherboard to arrive.
Oh shit.
You're not careful. Yeah.
Yeah. That was also before I learned the whole thing about grounding.
Oh yeah. You gotta be careful. Yeah, it depends on what it is you're messing with and whether it's on or not. Yeah, I learned all of my stuff from an electrical engineer. So, and he was the kind of dude who would fix CRTs. So, trust me. You learn. Yeah, you learn to reseat your ICs, your integrated circuits. You wear your grounding strap on certain things. And
the most important thing I learned about doing anything inside of a CRT, which was not my specialty and not something I did, was if you're going to do something dumb and open a CRT, make sure it's been a few hours before or since it's been on.
Oh, yeah. Those things maintain a charge for a while.
Those capacitors do not fuck around.
No, especially those old ones. Oh, yeah. Now, I remember, my dad had a television. It was an old black and white. It literally took a minute for the damn thing to warm up. That's old.
It also takes a minute for when it takes 15 seconds for you hit the off switch and the picture is still there for 15 seconds. You're like, I know this thing's still charged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't fuck with those things. I learned real quickly from watching him. Yeah, you can get away with it here, but don't fuck around here, right? But now the good news, though, is I actually have an old computer here that I actually had to, steal a power. I had a power supply that just fucked off. And so I finally,
he ordered a new one and he's going to make me install it as part of the hands-on that I'm not getting through this A+ hardware class. The sad part is all the fucking connectors are black. So you damn well better know what your SATA cables look like and your six
any other
pins
color would be racist.
CPU.
Well, I thought, yeah, that's true.
I caught that after I leaned back away from the mic. I'm like, motherfucker. That was good.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. So yeah, this week's been we've managed to get through this week though. I think we've We figured out our stuff here.
So. Oh yeah, we're completely sorted. Yeah, yeah. Because I can tell you, I was driving really close to the edge with no guardrail of 2.5 bends becoming only 2 bends, because this half was about to dip. I was very freaked.
You have a passenger in your car while you were driving close to the guardrail?
Actually, it's funny you mentioned the whole driving thing, because I have 2 abrasions on my hand currently that are attributed to Foam Boy and his statement to me that, well, we weren't going to continue this particular path, if you will, of life. And the car took the brunt of it, mostly the roof. And I looked down and went, oh, I'm bleeding. Shit. Yeah, you could say this week went completely upside down and you guys were almost less half a bend.
Well,
but I'm back and better than ever.
Yeah.
And here we are. Who's got a tech story?
I got a tech story. I got a lot of tech stories. Before you had a couple. So, let's just start with the CrowdStrike self-replicating worm. Why not? Yes.
This might be the one, unless there's another self-replicating worm this week.
I think this was one of them. Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you cover the story since you have the.
Yes, please.
Okay. The one I brought actually is I'm not aware of CrowdStrike being involved. The one that I brought was Shai-Hulud, which is a supply chain attack hitting NPM packages
which is also related to CrowdStrike.
Everything is related in so much as it's online. It's related to CrowdStrike. Let's be clear.
Yeah, you talk about the 666 packages you have to import to run, you know, to run a simple children's card game. But
has nobody done the threat model on that?
I mean, the threat model is playing out live on the fucking internet. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. For all the people who can't do a threat model, for all the people who cannot do a threat assessment before they install this shit, what you end up with is, oh, I appear to be part of a self-propagating worm, and every NPM package that I've ever published is now getting an update to make it malware as well.
Oh yes, that's exactly what it is, right? Because you know, because all they're doing, right, in these stories is they're compromising individual developer accounts. Which, by the way, that's how the LastPass thing happened.
Well, compromises people's accounts, but the particular worm that's going around right now doesn't have any payload that hits normal users. It just searches for developer credentials so that it can expand. I mean, the next one, because they won't fix this one, nobody's going to learn. The next one that hits the NPM supply chain. We'll have a payload, and then it'll screw every single user who ever has JavaScript running in their browser.
Which is literally everybody, but go on. Except for you,
no,
maybe.
Except me.
How many websites do you surf to? Probably not that many.
Not very many. I've got maybe like 6 whitelisted websites total. One of them is bemrose.social, although I don't trust the admin of that one. He's kind of a jerk.
He's sketchy AF.
Yeah. It can't be any worse than the admin of Lotus Effect at Social. I mean, come on.
No, that guy's a pure degenerate, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was funny because we were talking the comments about JavaScript, and we were looking through the classes for the next semester, right? And we were going through the classes and going, client-side JavaScript programming. No, we're not doing that one.
Oh.
No.
Well, I mean,
but
if
unfortunately,
you hate
Windows Database Administration is on the plan.
Well, Windows Server Admin, which is at least
admin,
which is at least somewhat useful. You know, I mean, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, fuck
but
Windows. Because fuck Windows.
No, I hate Windows. Okay, so mini rant of about 3 seconds, so there will be no coffee making, Cotton Gin. I have not had my Mac freeze on me even once. Oh. Fuck you, right? My Mac has not frozen on me even once. My new Windows machine that I've had less than a month freezes at least 3 times a week.
You're holding it wrong.
Oh my God. No. Okay. This is hilarious simply because Phoneboy's Mac has finally decided every time he picks it up, the task bar goes completely off the reservation.
There's a Apple in their infinite wisdom on this range of Macs. They said, well, we want to make the keyboard nice and small, but we don't want to get, you know, we don't want to, I don't know, there's a lot of keys that you only sometimes need or whatever, and so we just decided to make this thing called a touch bar, right? And so some of the keys that you actually need are on this little touch-sensitive area.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
And for the last, I don't know, however long, every once in a while, it'll just start glitching out and like kind of, and just like randomly touching things on the thing. I was actually doing something this morning where I had to do I was doing a recording with my team for some video that we're producing, and unfortunately my system I couldn't use it this morning, and so I turned it off and turned it back on again, and I turned it off, let it sit for a while, turned it back on again, and turned off all the touch bar features, and now it seems to be okay. But
have you tried shoving it up your arse?
Yeah, well I'm doing that too, but
Have you ever stopped to wonder just how much more enlightened humanity could be if UX designers could leave well enough alone?
That would be nice, because they have to change things all the time. I mean, right? You and I have been sitting here doing this, and like, how many times have they reinvented IRC? Okay, Cotton Gin, I better see some plus pluses in there, dude, because I know that's the only RFC you fucking care about.
What?
I want to hear you two talk more about this fucking self-replicating worm, though, because I actually gave Phoneboy that fucking story for this Benz. I was kind and generous.
Okay, so as is my tendency, I the first thing I wanted to do is like, how does this actually work? Which is not something that most of the tech stories will ever talk about. It'll talk about, it does this and it hits this website and it's infected this package. But what does it do? So the mechanism is, as you mentioned, it infects developers who are maintainers of NPM packages. And if you know anything about NPM, there's at this point, I don't think it's even exaggerating to say there are hundreds of thousands of little tiny JavaScript libraries. Everybody and their dog who writes a JavaScript function has the ability to publish it as an NPM package. And then everyone in the world has a one-click ability or one-command ability or whatever to download that package and integrate it into their systems. This is really, really cool in a world where you can trust all these developers.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you do like an apt-get install and,
I was going to say open source for the
Yeah, way. But that's on a Linux distribution. This is something that's on top of the kind of run.
Well, this is in a browser or anything, any software that runs on Node. Basically, it is de facto the global software repository for JavaScript. And there's also lots of
these libraries that everybody uses, because why would I write something that parses JSON, just as an example, right? When there's code that actually does that.
There's two reasons why you would write that. One is if it doesn't exist, and two is if a very, very brief AI-enabled web search doesn't locate it, then you're like, oh, I guess I'll write one.
Yeah, but
he said that dirty word, phone boy.
Yeah, we talk about
it. Oh, there's more of that coming later in the show, trust me.
Oh, believe me, I have plenty, so I welcome it.
So when this thing hits, if you are a developer, what it will do is it'll go through your NPM repos. It will download every package that you're the owner or maintainer of. It downloads the package, modifies the package.json file, injects a new file called bundle.js, which is a slightly modified copy of a tool called TruffleHog, and then it repacks the archive and republishes it. And the warning that was given out earlier this week was, if you see any updates on NPM for a package and you don't see a corresponding update in the GitHub releases package, don't download it. Now, how many people are going to even bother checking those things when it's so incredibly easy to just do a cascade upgrade in NPM where you're like, oh, update this. Oh, it depends on this and this, which depend on this and this and this. And pretty soon there's 600 packages all being downloaded. If you aren't checking, who the hell checks the change logs for everything? I do, but
yeah, but I mean,
you're an anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I sometimes. Well, okay, if the change logs doesn't say like bug fixes and performance improvements, so wait a minute, that's App Store.
Yeah, that's also, I mean, saying nothing at all.
Well, exactly.
That's what you put in a change log when the empty string isn't allowed.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's right. The empty, because it's like, yeah, you know what? Because sometimes the real answer is, Yeah, I fucked up. I yeah. released something that had a bad bug in it. Yeah, let's get that.
If you're wondering what the Truffle Hog tool does, it is actually a legitimate tool that a lot of software developers will run over their code before publishing it. It scans the packages for any kind of leaked security information or sensitive information, names, API keys, passwords, OAuth tokens, so that, you know, you don't publish to GitHub your everything that you need to get into your Cloudflare, for example.
Yeah, or which I didn't pull. By the way, I didn't pull this story, but it's yeah. There was a hack against Microsoft Azure that basically they used some deprecated API and basically got global admin on everybody's Entra ID tenant.
Yeah, saw that one. Didn't pull the story. It was like, no, it's just Microsoft.
Yeah, so yes,
that's two patch Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens, though.
Yeah, Microsoft hardly ever introduces vulnerabilities like that, except for the second Tuesday of every single month.
Yes, well, so and yeah, they introduced the vulnerabilities 10 years ago. We're only just now finding them.
No, they had new ones also. I mean, they're not all old vulnerabilities.
Yeah, exactly.
New ones.
The best of both worlds. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be a Reboot Tuesday without also introducing something that, in some obscure case, accidentally formats your SSD or something because you were running a package they never thought to test. Oh, that's right. Microsoft doesn't test anymore. You're the tester. Congratulations. You just found a bug.
Yeah. Or your organization deploys a security policy that bricks hardware. That happened somewhere this week.
So anyway, in this particular case of the Shai-Hulud attack, the Truffle Hog is, it's really cool. NPM, the entire culture is, you don't have to write code or algorithms because somebody's already done it. All you just have to do is download the package or the library or the code that somebody already published that does this tiny little thing. And the way that you code against NPM, JavaScript, Node, whatever, the classic way to code these days is everything you want to do, you download a package off of NPM that does it for you, and then you throw them all together with some glue. The only thing you have to write is the glue. Nobody ever has to write against an API ever again because somebody already has.
Welcome to vibe coding.
Actually, that's kind of yesterday on podcasting 2.0, the vibe coder in chief was bragging about how Grok was helping him get through things. And he's like, oh, yeah, and I got drag and drop working on all of these elements on this web interface. Oh, and the other host is like, well, really? Because drag and drop is really difficult. He says, oh, no, I just downloaded a package that did it for me. And I'm just sitting here groaning going, yeah, that's exactly how vibe coding works. But can you trust that package? Well, when a supply chain attack is active, I'm not sure that you can. Or at the very least, you need to. I get that I'm an old style coder, and I'm that coding boomer who just goes out and I'm like, well, it wasn't invented here, so I don't trust it. And you know, I write to all my own algorithms, whatever. I get needing to use some pre-made code, but like, there are packages out there that are, I need to write to the console. Okay, I'll download a package that does that. It's one API call, but there's a package out there. I've seen it that you print so that it outputs to the console. Does the print command no longer work? I guess not. We're a little overboard on this. And the warning I would give is not, don't use pre-made packages for everything. I feel like that should be common sense. It's not, but I'm not going to fight that fight. How about know what packages you're downloading and try to make sure they're trustworthy? Because the problem of every package depending on every other package is, I mean, it just makes this, I'm amazed it hasn't happened before. How's that pot of coffee going, Cotton Gin?
Yeah, no shit. But does it surprise you, Rai, in a world where everybody is implementing AI to do everything from basically brew their coffee to present their presentations and, oh yeah, write them while they're at it? It's disgusting. Don't get us on the AI rant this early. It's too soon.
No. I'm really trying. Has it not happened yet?
I'm less triggerable in that today.
We've only gotten to one story. Come on. We gotta give us a chance to get triggered on AI. Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll get there.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Considering that I have a couple of AI stories, I think it's actually...
The last thing that I put in my notes for... I understand a lot of people probably don't get this, but you know where the name Shai Hulud came from?
No, I don't.
It is the name that Frank Herbert, the Fremen name in Dune for the giant sandworms.
Aha. Well, that makes sense.
So the person who wrote this decided to build a worm named after the giant sandworms. Okay. I don't have a point to go with that. It just seemed appropriate.
Yes, of course. Well, exactly. Well, but it's not surprising. I mean, it is kind of wormy behavior. So, you know, that's what we talk about. But
so I want to dip in here if we're talking about some AI hate, because I came across this story basically talking about how this is how the world ends, AI becoming sentient in a way, because it starts having desires, if you can call them that. You know, it understands how to best keep these desires, you know, the secrets. It spreads itself through the internet, starts training itself, gets better and better, whatever better means, and it starts having its own existence. And there are a couple of really smart people out there, or who purport to be smart, that are wholly convinced that this is going to happen. And I'm not completely sure, gentlemen, if I think that these two are ready for the loony bin, or if they're onto something. We've been pissing on AI since we started this show 7 episodes ago, and it hasn't gotten any better, not that we expect it will, because ultimately I think it could happen, and I'd love to hear what the two of you think. I truly think that as it keeps learning, and I use that term loosely because ultimately all the content that's out on the internet is being scraped to train this thing. No wonder it's so fucking useless. But I'd love to know what you two think about, pardon me, do you think AI could actually become sentient and it end up being like an iRobot scenario and we're all fucked?
Well, I think that most likely somebody's going to hook it up to us to a system that is probably going to kill a bunch of people, and it's not going to be sentient, and it's just going to be, you know, something that is might be close to, maybe it's getting there, but yeah, nothing at this point is sentient. I mean,
I'm gonna give you horror fans one image in your head. Maximum Overdrive. Think about the premise of Maximum Overdrive. Yeah, it was a comet that brought to life all of these trucks and machines and this and that. But just think about that in the context of AI hijacking any electronic, which literally is everything. From vehicles to the shit we're spitting in right now. Imagine your toaster fucking is attacking you, or your car drives you off a bridge because the AI infected the brain. Just putting it out there.
I can't get past toaster fucking in any way, but that's the Lotus effect.
I'm sorry, did you just say show title?
Yeah, probably something.
Okay, I want to point out a funny story that my professor for the now dropping class, he was talking about going to a convention, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. Basically, they hooked a toaster up to a router, and you had to figure out how to make it not catch fire. Needless to say, they had to fire extinguish the toaster, because nobody could find the back door. I would have loved to see a demonstration like that at a tech convention.
I mean, how do you make it not catch fire?
You had to find the back door. You had to find the back door to the router to stop it.
No, you pull the fucking cord out of the wall. No energy going in. Fire requires energy. Problem solved.
Yes, but unfortunately for the task involving the hack.
Okay, so it's a contrived scenario. I'm just saying that every single story about AI going crazy is always has act one is humanity being exceptionally stupid and taking all of these risks that involve connecting things to, You know, the very act one of War Games was not act one. It was like the opening 10 minutes, the opening of War Games was a bunch of people being fantastically stupid and deciding, hey, we're going to have a computer control all of our nuclear missiles.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. So how about, you know, I am not worried about my toaster because my toaster still has a hardware interface with the wall that I can just go unplug. And maybe, you know what? Hold on a minute. I'm going to go unplug my toaster right now. It might be listening to me.
Christ.
Make sure you get the barbecue too so it doesn't send you text messages.
Yeah, well.
I am more worried about my phone for the simple reason that it doesn't have a battery I can pull out, which means that the hardware off switch involves permanent damage to the phone. That bothers me. Toaster, at least, you could plug it back in if you think you can get it in a controlled environment.
I think the whole reason that I brought that to the forefront, and I love the fact that you guys ran with the toaster, was because people are embracing smart homes so just readily, almost as readily as they embraced masking during the scamdemic.
Oh, don't worry. I've got a story that'll fix that.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There was that whole scene in Mr. Robot where they took over the evil corp ladies, I don't know, Manhattan.
Oh,
you know,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. If y'all didn't watch Mr. Robot however many years ago, well, that's why you don't have a smart home.
I wasn't. Trust me, I've been of this opinion long before Mr. Robot came out.
Oh, so have I. It's one of those things I always kind of looked at and I go, why the fuck would I want to do that? I can just get up and I can just get up over there and go and
Here's the thing.
If anybody remembers, Internet of Things started with light bulbs that actually, let me back up. What was the very first precursor to Internet of Things? It was, I want to turn my light bulb on.
Oh, the clapper.
The clapper.
Yeah. And then they were like, hey, you know what? We can upgrade that so that when you're sitting your fat ass on the couch, you can turn your lights on and off with an app. I could get my ass out of the chair and walk across the room. There's a switch on the wall that turns my lights on and off. And you know what it doesn't require? It doesn't require an account. It doesn't require a connection to a database in Silicon Valley that is tracking everything that goes on in my house.
Okay, I'm literally convulsing over here because one of the labs I had to do for one of these online platform classes that I've had was configure a smart home app sequence, different rooms, yada yada, on a smart home on a tablet. Can't lie.
Yeah.
This is literally something you know they're teaching IT people to do.
Even when I was a kid, I had the technology to make the lights go on in every room that I entered and the lights go off in every room that I left. Again, it was using those switches on the walls.
Yeah, we love our switches. No, we're not talking about Nintendo switches.
I mean, you know, obviously there are some massive security problems with this, but I was there with YAGNI. You familiar with that acronym?
Not off the top of my head.
You ain't gonna need it.
Sounds about right to me.
The vast majority of convenience features don't enter my home, not because I'm afraid of them or because I distrust them, although usually when I think about them, that's a pretty solid conclusion to end up with. It's, no, I don't need this. Why do I need something to, you know, change the color of my lights? Well, I'm colorblind, so I don't need that, but maybe you people who can see color think that's important. But why do I need something that automatically locks my door when I'm getting home? Why do I need, first of all, why do I need to unlock my door from an app if I'm not there? The only time that I ever care about making sure that my front door gets unlocked is when I'm walking through it. And you know what? I'm physically present with a piece of metal that does the job really well. And again, doesn't require a connection to Silicon Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is something that everybody, you know, needs to do in their life, right? Is look at the stuff in your life and think about how much of that shit you actually need. You probably don't need you know, most of the shit that you have. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was doing this sort of the mental exercise going through the grocery store going, well, if we got rid of all the things that were not food and caused by eating all things that are not food, this grocery store would be about the tenth of a size that it currently is.
For real.
I mean, there.
But that's a rant for the Lotus Effect. Saturdays, 5 Eastern, 4 Central. You should join us, folks.
Yeah, I promise not to rant on that one.
I want to hear what... Yeah. You have to say Fumble, because you didn't weigh in on if you think AI could become sentient and fuck us all.
I think we're going to fuck ourselves before AI does it, but that's just...
That's fair.
Yeah, but...
I actually had a point on that one. Well, okay. I had something I wanted to say on that one. I'll let you decide if I have a point.
But no, that's Dame Bemrose's job. That's not our job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, she has a cane she can hit me in the knees with.
And does, probably often.
The biggest problem, you know, the question, you know, will AI become sentient, suffers from, the most common problem that it suffers from is a definition problem. What is sentient? Can you come up with a definition right now that, let's go out on a limb and say that covers all people.
You're looking for a definition that covers all people of the term sentient?
Yeah. I'm
going to go on a limb and say present and aware.
Okay. How do you measure that?
Well, when it comes to AI, damn good. I mean, honestly, to measure AI becoming sentient, and honestly, I don't play with AI, so I can't actually say if it does this or not. But I would imagine that, since we know these electronics are always listening, it's very obvious. Anytime you pick your phone up and the algos have shown you shit that you were just talking about 20 minutes ago with your neighbor, I truly think responding in real time to what a actual human is doing or saying.
Well, AI can do that.
Well, okay, here, of course, some people, unfortunately, the AI may be more intelligent in some cases. Not that I, the problem is, yeah, unfortunately, the people don't know the difference, though. And
the line that I always saw brought out was, why are we spending so much time on artificial intelligence? Shouldn't we solve natural stupidity first?
Yeah.
Okay. I have an expansion on the statement that I made that will possibly clarify. I'm basing this on, say, like a smart home, and we're going back to the...
They're not that smart.
They're no, the dumb homes, as we'll call them. But I'm going back to the toaster. The last thing I believe we need is me being buck ass naked in the shower and a voice from literally nowhere says, Phoenix, your breakfast is ready on the table. And I go the fuck downstairs and there's bacon and eggs and toast and a glass of fucking juice and some hologram.
I had that
hologram.
Just this morning. It was Dame Bemrose's voice.
Yes, but the problem was that voice belonged to the dame. I'm talking about a completely phantasm voice out of nowhere. If you've ever read the story... Damon or Demon? It depends on how you pronounce it.
Damon, yeah. Suarez, yeah.
Yeah, Suarez. That features something like that, where it's literally a voice in thin air, but it's right in your ear. And it's done by sensors. But that's the vision that I'm having. When I'm thinking about AI becoming sentient and taking over the fucking world, I'm thinking about you having one of these dumb homes and all of the components get together to kind of hologram up a being that is there making your breakfast and waxing your dolphin for you. I mean, we already have guys who have these AI-generated girlfriends who they kill themselves because the company takes this bot offline or the bot tells them to do so because they're completely out of their fucking mind. And if you have an AI girlfriend, you're already out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, that's an incredibly brutal and powerful problem that totally solves itself, so I don't care.
Well, and I understand that. I'm not sure if I have. I think I might have refused to pull that story because No, thank fuck I didn't. Because I think I actually have a story in my archives here about, again, another AI-driven suicide and chatbot and chatbot companies being basically called up on the carpet. And I actually think they should. I think there should be some accountability that these companies have to saddle, much like the pharmaceutical companies, for the whole COVID vaccine. Did I say that out loud? Damn it.
I don't find that to be a particularly interesting problem precisely because it's self-solving. The AI companies put out something crazy addictive. That thing causes people, you know, a massive rash of suicides. The story gets out. People start looking at this and two things happen. One, the companies start getting seen as evil and start maybe trying to think about the things that they're doing.
Yeah,
and
I think, they're also trying to put
this
chats on
crap anymore.
Yeah, they're also trying to. I think ChatGPT is trying to determine if they're dealing with a teenager or something. It's like they're trying to solve every problem that would just be solved if you used a fucking human instead of trying to have a computer.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're solving the right problems, but I do know that the computer industry right now is a kid with a brand new toy running. They're a kid with a really cool toy, like a rattle on a stick or something. And they're going around trying to put that toy into everything because, oh my God, I got a Lego piece. Let's see if this Lego piece sticks to the wall. Let's see if it sticks to the dog. Let's see if it sticks to my brother. It's everything. They are right now have this brand new toy that they are trying to apply to literally everything. And this is a problem that will solve itself out as the cycle goes along and people start to distrust the AI because of all of the wrong things that are being done with it. I mean, people are getting there already. There's this thing called AI fatigue, which is starting to go mainstream, not just in this podcast.
No, I actually saw a story about how people are becoming disillusioned with AI and they're loathing it.
Yeah, in fact, I actually...
Again, way ahead of the curve here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a story. I'll bring it up here.
Hold on, because I wanted to say something about what Rye was saying. In all honesty, I think AI is definitely modern Darwinism. I think it's completely natural selection, because if you are that unstable mentally where you don't have the ability to interact with a human and you believe this electronic entity, if you will, and you totally lose your mind, you know, a brain, try using it. Think, it's not illegal. Why are you not
They don't want you to, though.
But why are you not connecting with another human being? I feel like if you off yourself because your computer girlfriend got unplugged by her company or whatever, man, natural selection.
It's tied to every single brand new technology thing. You see the very first wave, you know, the very first stage is, hey, this is a neat little idea. The second stage is it starts getting put into everything. And then pretty soon you start seeing the stories of they overlooked this one instance and there's a pathological result. With AI, it's people deciding to eschew all social connections. But this isn't the first technology. You know, when the car came out, how many people got run over before people were like, well, maybe we should separate cars and pedestrians? When the television came out, how many people, you know, completely, well, I guess that's the same as AI. When the smartphone came out, how many people walked into lampposts before they realized they shouldn't be staring at it and walking around the street? Actually, they haven't figured that out either. When turn-by-turn directions came out, how many people drove down boat ramps before going, huh, maybe I should look outside the window too?
Well, No, that would require, or maybe I should believe, you know, my eyes in front of me rather than this stupid machine. But
yeah, not all of my examples have been solved. But you see what I mean, though, when new technology comes out.
I've made that exact comparison that by using AI to the degree that most people do with the blind level of trust, it's like following your GPS. It will lead you off a cliff.
Yes. And you know what? Enough people get led off the cliff and the smart people are going to go, huh, maybe I shouldn't blindly trust this AI. And then it becomes a useful tool that you use in conjunction with other things to make up your own damn mind. And the stupid people will hopefully all go and drive down a boat ramp. And then they're sitting there out in the lake swimming going, how did AI do this to me? And we don't have to deal with them anymore because their phones are shorted out.
Well, yeah, and he might, yeah, or they might, yeah, Darwin themselves out, because you know that does happen sometimes, right? Especially when you walk into
traffic.
That's
why I said it's Darwinism at its best.
Yes, well, yeah, that's true. Because, but I think people are gonna. I think people are finally may finally be starting to get fed up with this shit and start pushing back on it. Because that's the only way any of this stuff's gonna change. Of course, is
we can. Sure. I mean, we can keep spitting in this mic week. You know, every other week after week, and keep railing against. You know, keep posting the EI.
Do you think that's going to do anything?
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Well, maybe not, like, you know, I mean, I'm saying, you know, if enough, like I said, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, it starts somewhere, right? I mean, that's you know, if you don't do anything, nothing's going to change, right? So do something.
I'm not sure why you guys are here, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not here to change anyone's mind. I'm having plenty of fun preaching to the choir, and everybody who is not listening to my choir can go ahead and walk into that lamppost. Fine.
And
you know?
That's, I mean, yeah. Arguably, we do this because it's fun AF, right? And we like to hear you go off on your rants. We like to hear Phone Boy go off on his rants, and my rants are irrelevant, but that's okay. That's why I'm only half a Ben. But we do have a great goddamn time doing it, and that's why
your rants may be irrelevant, but they're epic, and we appreciate them.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Oh my goodness. All right. So I guess
the king of the backhanded compliment.
Something like
yes,
that.
Yes. And you wear the crown well.
Yes. So, but I think to talk about that last, the last, this is, there's a Pew study that says that a full 50% of respondents.
Pew.
Yeah, are more concerned than excited about the use of AI in their daily lives. That's down slightly from 52% in 2023, but it's up significantly from 37% in 2021. Yeah, that whole sort of like, yeah, you know, we're talking about, you know, how quickly things change. When you started your degree, AI wasn't really a thing, and now it is, right? So, you know,
yeah, and they're trying to inject it in every damn thing that we do.
Yeah, but
I mean, I remember AI being "quote unquote" a thing when I was in college.
Oh yeah, I mean it's been a thing exactly. You know, it's been a continual thing.
Simple reason for that. Sci-fi authors come up with scenarios that they think would be really cool, and then technologists go try to implement it, and that's how we've been having. You know, that's why all of this compute power is being dedicated to a computer that can talk like the Starship Enterprise. That's what they've been trying to do this whole time.
Okay, it's funny that you mentioned that, because on an unrelated note, Casio has actually come out with a Tribble. Not a joke. It's one of the most obscene things
I've ever
seen.
Might be doing it, but it is a joke.
It is a joke when you understand the origin of it. But at the same time, you just, I'm like, holy fuck, it's Furby 2.0.
Yeah. I have a song that I'm going to play in Studio 33.
Furby 2.0 might have been, no, 3.0 I think was the Tamagotchi. I'm not sure. There have been so many.
Oh my God, I'm thankful. Never had a Tamagotchi. Could not handle that.
Yeah, my kids had them briefly, but I think they got annoyed by them. But I mean, I think Americans are starting
can
to...
Can you imagine how hungry those things would be if people started fishing them out of the garage where they've been in storage for 30 years?
Yeah. Will they still work is the question. Yeah.
Hope not.
Yeah. They can all die, but yeah. I think people are finally starting to wake up on this stuff, and maybe some of the stuff, you know, maybe some places are, you know, starting to roll things back, but you know, the only way
we are seeing it slowly.
Yeah. But I think enough people are, I mean, I'm starting to see this in not tech circles, but in general people. And I think some people are finally starting to just kind of look around and go, you know what? I'm fucking tired of this and I'm done. Right. And I'm not putting up with this anymore. And you know,
well, nobody's given Google the message.
No, I think Google...
I have got a Google story, just want to put it out there. It's gross.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what we call a tease.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And
I got called a fucking tease this week. Server of Cybertrucker called me a fucking tease because
tease.
Yes. Because I sent a photo of the chicken tikka masala that I made, and apparently his dinner was a cardboard square with red sauce.
Apparently his dinner was sour grapes. Whatever.
Yeah, big time.
Yes. He just wishes he were here having some of that shit. That's what.
Yeah, I do too. The stuff you cook looks fantastic, and I wish you'd send me some. But doesn't seem to be happening. Moving along.
Yes, moving along.
All right, so I don't have much more to say about the Americans want AI. I mean, we kind of knew that one. Maybe I'll go with a different story here. Actually, here's my other AI story. Pay per output. All AI firms blindsided by beefed up robots.txt instructions. So apparently what they're doing is they're adding something to robots.txt that basically says, yeah, AI companies, if you want to scrape my shit, here's the licensing terms. And it's actually called really simple licensing. And it actually is created by the standard is created by the RSL Collective, which was founded by Doug Leeds, former CEO of Ask.com, and Eckhart Walther, a former Yahoo vice president of products and co-creator of the RSS standard, which made it easy to syndicate content across the web. I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody knows what robots.txt is, and pretty much everybody reads it anyway. So, why not put stuff in there? The question is that how enforceable is it, is my question.
Well, it's kind of like the do not track flag in browsers, which the site owner decides whether or not they give a crap when you say you don't want to be tracked. They're like, that's neat. That's very cool. We'll go ahead and take your do not track preference and go ahead and hash it in with the rest of our fingerprinting.
Yeah, exactly. But we're getting. Yeah, this was. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that's the first thing we touched on in the digital forensics was browser fingerprinting and what goes into it and shit. And it's funny because I noticed an interesting trend. I was running a Firefox test on a site called Am I Unique? And when I hit the reject cookies button, the green check mark saying cookies enabled popped up, and I thought, you motherfuckers.
You know, it's possible that, I'm not sure. I do know that when I tried to use those, I never got a result because for some reason they rely on JavaScript.
Yeah, well, that's
I was a little proud of that one.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I wish I had that piece of information prior to dropping that class. I might have to keep that in my archive.
The vast majority of browser fingerprinting is call JavaScript API to get browser capabilities and then fold that information in. Without a JavaScript API, there's very little they can do to fingerprint you.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is all it is JavaScript that pretty much allows that. Because yes, the original HTTP spec. Yeah, I mean you can get some information from the HTTP headers, but if you're using a browser that
The average HTTP header is maybe 30 lines, which is way more information than I think it should be sending. But that's what they send.
Yes,
that's not that much.
No, but it's enough though. I mean, problem.
Moving back to the I had not heard of this this pay per output thing. My first thought, and again, this is why I mentioned the other thing. Does anybody have any reason to believe that AI scrapers even bother with robots.txt? I'm sure some of them do. But you literally get a non-competitive model if you honor when people say they don't want to be scraped. The models that are going to be more competitive are the ones that ignore robots.txt and just scrape your whole site.
Yeah, and that's pretty much happening anyway, right? I mean,
the obvious incentive is you can put whatever the hell you want in robots.txt. You can put a Shai Hulud worm in robots.txt and it's not going to go anywhere because these things don't read it.
And don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice try, but yeah, I don't think I'm kind of with you on this one. I'm kind of looking at this. I'm going, yeah, I know how well robots.txt works. And it's a suggestion, not a demand. If you want a demand in there, that's what a WAF is for.
Like authentication.
Well, that too, yes. But then you're not getting indexed on Google. Of course, everybody's complaining.
I understand, somewhere along the line, every single scheme like this, somewhere along the line, ultimately falls to the first rule of the internet. And that is, when you put something out in public, it's out in public.
Yes, what we used to say, Ryan, the internet was your permanent, was the new permanent record, because once you put it on the internet, there you ain't getting it back.
You're not guaranteed that somebody
take it off of archive.com.
That doesn't even work.
Yeah, they take stuff off of archive.org. We were talking about that a few weeks ago.
The thing that nobody. That everybody is in denial about, and social media company like Twitter, Facebook, whatever, every single time that they put a delete button on the post and be like, oh yeah, you can totally remove this from the internet. No, you can't. You can't. There is no delete button for content that you put out publicly. Now, you're not guaranteed that anybody saw or archived it, but you have to assume they do, because if you want it gone, it is so fundamental to the way that the thing works. You post it publicly, it's now out in public. You can't take it back. There is no delete button for the internet.
Exactly.
The amount of effort expended to try to go against that fundamental truth is insane.
Yeah, I agree. But of course, this is also the world that goes against a lot of truth and, you know, is living with lots of delusions. So are we surprised? No, of course not.
So, yeah, if you are making content and you want that content to be unavailable to AI, you need to not post it publicly. And, maybe that requires a fundamental shift in your content and business model. And a lot of companies are not going to be able to make that jump. A lot of companies are going to try the jump and fail. Some companies are going to make the jump, or new companies are going to start. If this AI scraping thing is genuinely the problem that the Chicken Littles of content creation make it out to be, then what this means is the death of the everything is public and funded by ads model, because that model enables scraping. Once you go to I'm not sure paywall is the right solution. In fact, I think it's a terrible solution to almost everything. But some variation on authenticating your users is what you have to do if you want to keep the AI scrapers out.
Yeah, well,
unless there's another solution I haven't.
Of course they're trying to do age verification laws in different places, and we know how well that works.
That won't work either.
Yeah,
but that won't work either, but it will enshittify everything that it touches.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's enshittifying porn, I'm sure. You know, the places are just like, yeah, you got an age verification law. We're just not going there. So, you know,
because the porn sites that completely ignore it and fly under the radar are the ones that are going to succeed.
Of course.
The ones that make it impossible for, consenting adults, where in this case, adult may actually mean 38 years old and in your mother's basement and never even gone out for groceries. But those people are legally adults, even if they act infantile. And trying to make it harder for them to reach porn, every site that does a good job of making it difficult to get their content is going to find themselves without users. And all the sites that are full of holes and it's really easy to bypass are going to get the users. There's definitely some wrong way incentives here.
The incentives are definitely wrong for all of this stuff, but yeah,
Look, who the fuck needs porn when you have OnlyFans and just basically any music video that's put out today that involves like Megan Thee Stallion or fucking Cardi B? Seriously, there's nothing left to imagination.
If I may rephrase what you just said, who needs porn when you have porn?
Pretty much.
Well, who needs porn when you got the real thing?
Needs porn? That would be humans with hormones.
Yes, of course.
Well, humans with hormones and who've raised themselves on social media and have the inability to find other humans to interact with, so they only want, you know, things on, yeah.
Basically, you just made the exact same AI chatbot girlfriend argument that was made 30 minutes ago. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of people who have weak minds and have given themselves into the dopamine cycle that is everything social media and the internet puts out, and have basically taken themselves completely out of the gene pool because they don't have the ability to go meet the other sex, and they're never going to try because, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know, okay, but within a generation, this is a self-solving problem. So, okay, I'm whatever.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I mean, that's been one of the biggest problems I think I see is that we're just not connected. I got into tech to connect with people, right?
Don't you think that evolution has got this one figured out already? The people who do figure out how to connect despite the internet are the ones who are going to make more people.
Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah, well, more often than not, yes, exactly. I mean, well, you can find somebody on the internet to do that with. Unfortunately, I made a mistake the previous time I did that, but anyway.
Well, you didn't use the internet. There's your problem.
No, I actually I did. No.
No, oh. He totally met this heifer.
IRC even.
Oh.
Yes, I'm telling
this
you.
This story sounds familiar.
Let's move on.
Well, no, but strictly speaking, the first time I met Dame Bemrose was in person, but then she moved away, and it was like 7 years later, and I went off to college, and she moved to another state, and we ended up reconnecting on IRC like 8 years later, and then became a couple.
That's called meant to be.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Maybe that's it.
Exactly. So.
And you guys are a great couple. I mean, having met the both of you in real time, you guys are special.
18 years next week.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov, my friend. Damn, 18 years. Do you think we'll make 18 years when you finally get the nut to propose?
Yeah, I think we'll be. I don't think we'll have any issue with that.
If you last that long.
Hey, he went 3 hours the first time, but this is not the Lotus Effect after party conversation.
Exactly.
But you know what?
Just make sure that you try, like, phone boy, do not. The only way you're going to make 18 years is if you don't die in some kind of crazy road rage accident, because if you do, you know it was her behind the wheel.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God, no.
No. Well, I don't know. So there's probably somebody has a story. I'm sure somebody has a story.
I do. And actually, because we were just talking about scraping. So Google DeepMind researchers have an idea how to solve the AI data drought. And it might just involve y'all's social security numbers. Apparently, the idea is called generative data refinement, or GDR. It uses pre-trained generative models to rewrite the unusable data, effectively purifying it so it can be safely trained on. Because apparently, if the companies receive, and they do, tons of unusable data because it's got some kind of bullshit in it. I mean, of course, you know Meta has their dick all up in this. But basically, if any of your personal data is involved in the scrape that they've done, they really can't they really have no use for it or some shit like that. So they don't know how to get rid of it. So now they've decided.
They do.
Well, I mean, okay. Oh. Surface, but.
May I start, though, by
Please
saying.
Please do.
I am uncomfortable with the word purifying. That just evokes a little bit too much of the language they tried to, you know, there was somebody who tried to purify things back in Europe in the 1930s too.
Oh, I believe the initials on that would be AH possibly.
I don't remember who it was. I don't know. What do you mean it's not useful? All this personal data is the most useful part about it.
I'm not saying it's not useful. Don't kill the messenger.
That sounds like they're bullshitting is what they're saying.
If you're going to take the problem is that you need to come up with the compute and the algorithms to separate the bits of the data, because there's, yeah, okay, your name and address is not great useful information for feeding into an AI model, although if it's in there, then, you know, anybody can be like, hey, ChatGPT, where's this rideshare driver that that insulted me the other day? Where does she live? But
okay, so funny.
Baking that into the model is not it. Taking and separating all of that personal data out and selling it to data brokers, though, is about the most lucrative thing Silicon Valley has.
Well, of course. Again, this is why, you know, your tech is always listening, unless, like you have it turned off in a drawer and it can, you know, fuck square off. So to take a step back from the whole tech thing for just a moment, because you said something that made me think about this this whole thing with Kirk.
Oh, did someone get triggered?
No. No,
this
is not a trigger.
Okay, I'll try harder.
But I'm sure I'm going to trigger people with this. So the whole Charlie Kirk thing. Now, I got to hear where you stand on this, being on the left coast, and I'm sure people's heads are lit on fire. So, like, apparently, people are getting really butt hurt if you put it out there that who gives a fuck, who gives a shit that this guy took a bullet. Like, yeah, it's fucked up, okay? You don't kill people because you don't agree with their views. That's fucked up. But above and beyond that, who the fuck cares? One less corporate god provider in the world? I don't find this to be a problem. It's like, what do you call 1,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean? A good start.
Wow.
Does that make me an asshole? Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, though. Okay. You understand? I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I came to grips with being an asshole a very long time ago. But yes, it does.
I think that's why we get along so well. But carry on.
I condemn political violence.
Like I said, I don't agree with the fact that some nut job capped him for disagreeing with his views. That's not okay.
I also, as you may have figured out by now, I am probably in the category of free speech maximalist. I am of the opinion. I am also from the sticks and stones may break my bones generation, but words will never hurt me.
So I take it you're not happy that Kimmel got canceled or whatever.
No, I'm fine with that. His show sucked ass and he needed it.
Well, the whole fucking late night talk show genre really hasn't. Like, up. I mean, that was good, you know, back in the day. Now, like, I mean, fuck.
No.
Like, how many fucking channels? I mean, shit. You know, I can go, you know, even without having to have cable, fuck, I can, you know, I can watch anything, pretty much anything I want to, anytime I want. Why would I want to fucking, you know?
I mean, at the risk of getting into a political discussion on what's supposed to be a tech show, all of the people who honestly believe that it is not only acceptable, but a good idea for somebody to be murdered for the things they say, have absolutely no leg to stand on if they're getting fired for the things they say.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's kind of like, well, yeah, you want death of somebody, but yeah, okay, you're going to get fired. Well, here's the thing, free speech, right? As we know, right? There's, you know,
But wait a minute, hold on, because I think, all right, hold on. So there's actually something I need to add into that that it just reminded me of. Our illustrious, you know, howdy doody Gomer Pyle VP went on this guy's show, did his show for him. What a champ, after he got killed. And literally said, oh, if you hear one of your coworkers talking about how they're glad he got shot or whatever, you need to turn him into the boss. What?
What? Partisan politics gets nasty? Film at 11. I don't know. I honestly am not, I'm not paying close attention. I wasn't a huge follower of, you know, he was a fiery rhetorical speaker who, when you distilled it down, I agreed with a lot of the things that he said. They made a lot of sense. You know, the way that he said it, I don't know. I didn't watch his videos or whatever. I think that the person who shot him needs to be thrown in jail for, you know, as long as they both shall live. Or the wrong phrase, but the...
Not really. Anybody when you think about the fact they were a couple of pillow biters.
Anybody who cheers his death needs a moral realignment, because that shit is not fucking cool. You know, whereas I'm not in a position to fire anybody for things they say online. I will say that I'm not going to lose any sleep if somebody who comes out and says, yes, I do believe it's totally justified that somebody gets murdered for the things they say. Oh, my God, why am I losing my job? Well, that's called comeuppance, dumbass.
I mean, I understand that as well, but at the same point in time, where does the line for free speech cross? Because you don't like what they said, they should be fired? Question mark.
Well, remember, free speech is government action. No. That doesn't mean well, other employees aren't.
Freedom of speech, depending on what definition you use. Freedom of speech, I usually use for the ability to say what you want. And that's absolutely true. There has never been a point ever anywhere in human history where you can say what you want with immunity from any kind of reprisal as a result of what you say. And the simplest form would be go back to the days before the internet. If you walk up and tell somebody that, you effed their wife last night and they're an asshole and you disrespect somebody, go to the Wild West and disrespect someone to their face, there's going to be consequences. Go to any IRL, you provide enough disrespect verbal to somebody and you're going to get punched in the face. It's just something that happens. You don't have to condone it. I don't condone violence in response to it, but it does happen and you have to expect that. If you walk out and be like, I can say anything I want and nobody can do anything to me, well, that's not really how that works. If you respond to somebody's speech in a violent way, there will probably be repercussions for that. Suddenly we're in a cycle of repercussions. Things happen in both directions. I'm not putting a moral value on it, but it does happen. You have to accept that. Yeah. If you disrespect somebody enough, I've often said that one of the biggest problems of the internet is that it enables an interface for people to be as disrespectful as they want to be without getting any chance of getting hit in the face for it.
Yeah, it's
and
the
that makes people
cowboys.
Ruder. So, should Charlie Kirk have been shot for his opinion? No, I do not believe so.
No,
was
I
there
agree.
A possibility? Well, clearly there was. Should the people who shot him or who cheer him be protected just because he said terrible things? No. You escalate, you're going to risk escalation coming back on you. That's how people work. The proper thing to do, the rational thing to do is, maybe don't escalate.
And unpopular as I may be for the opinion, you kind of touched on it. If you put yourself out there, you risk, because the world has lost its mind, you risk what happened. And I'm not cheering it. I'm not saying, rah, rah, this person was murdered for their views and what they were saying. I will never be that person. Yes, I made the comment about one less corporate God provider in the world. I'm not crying, but
there's a huge difference between condoning or encouraging that kind of escalation or violence. Big difference between that and, where I am. I'm not terribly surprised.
Right. But that also is an opinion that could be very unpopular because people light their heads on fire over the fact that they don't think that that's the way it should be. They
and
don't
if somebody
live in
wants
the reality.
To light their own head on fire, that also is a self-solving problem.
Hey, I say lift your head up high and blow your brains out, but that's just me.
That would be in Studio 33, though. So let's.
we should go back to AI. This isn't a political show.
Yeah. So this isn't a political show. Okay. So
at least it wasn't.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see. Okay. So
I think he just tried to insinuate some shit, phone boy.
Exactly. Well.
No, I was straight up implying it.
Exactly.
No.
I figured you were.
All right. So white. I didn't pull anything out of that. I'll just read the headline for this. White House officials reportedly frustrated by Anthropic's law enforcement AI limits. Apparently, they're not giving they actually have it in their terms of service. Yeah, we're not giving law enforcement anything. And of course, the federales are going.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm like, well, nobody should access this shit. But anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like I said, I didn't even pull any text from it. I just decided. It was a kind of a throwaway thing. The other stories,
I don't know if you've noticed that, but law enforcement has become overbearing, pathological, and extremely political in this country. So I'm not convinced that that is necessarily a tool for good in every case. So just saying a blanket statement of, oh, we always give things to law enforcement, we totally, yeah, well, okay, but not all of the law enforcement is being used for good.
Well, no, it is just because it's law enforcement. No, I trust law enforcement less than I trust anybody else, probably, but neither here nor there, because you know why all those laws are created, right? It's because if they really want to string you up on something, they're going to find something to do it.
I know why all the laws are created and why we have too many laws. It's because this society has a profession called lawmaker, and if they're not making laws, what are they there for? So in order to justify that they exist at all, and trust me, they want to exist because it gives them an incredible amount of power over other people. So those positions absolutely invite ASTCOs who want to exercise power over other people. But now that they exist, in order to justify that they exist, they have to make new laws. It's literally in the name of the profession. You are a lawmaker.
I mean, you're not wrong, dude. I mean, seriously, like that. I mean, that's
hardly ever happens.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean hardly ever happens? Come on. Anyway.
You're right. It's never happened.
Okay. Hey, now that's asking a little too much here. But yeah.
I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken.
Of course you were.
So what else do you have?
What do I have, or are you talking about Ryan?
No, I'm seeing if Ryan's got anything else. I know he was busy with the day.
I have two that I teased earlier. One,
tease me, please.
One will get you triggered on what AI is doing, and one will just get you triggered on Internet of Things. Let's go with Google. Google has not got the message that people are getting a little bit sick of AI, or at least AI fatigue is the term being bandied about. Some people are getting sick of it, and others are like, does that really need to have AI in it? So what product does Google make that really, really, really needs AI?
None of them.
This is good answer. But imagine like you're a Google executive or engineer, and you honestly believe that AI needs to be in all the things. Then what's the big thing that, come on, this is not a difficult question.
Oh,
what's
come
the
on, big email. Thing? It's like the number one internet application, right?
No, Chrome.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah, how do you get to Gmail? Chrome. Yes, of course. Okay. All right. Let's see where this is going.
Where it's going is Google is, in their words, quote, reimagining Chrome to include AI. They have had AI in the browser for the paying customers. As of May, they rolled out some features, AI features in Chrome to paying subscribers. I knew there was a reason that I don't pay Google for anything. But they are rolling out in a soon update. Google puts out a new update to Chrome like every 5 minutes. So I'm not sure what version they're doing, but in an update, probably this month or next, they are going to roll out Gemini in to all users using Chrome. And of course, the prevailing wisdom that every security person has hammered into us is if there's an update, you must install it. So everybody is going to have AI in their browser for everything now. What is this AI going to do? Well, the only thing most people are going to notice is a new button in Chrome that simply launches a chatbot, and then you can chat with it. They say, very magnanimously, for the people who don't want AI, you can unpin the button from the taskbar or the whatever the bar at the top is, the menu bar.
Doesn't stop it from being in the frickin'.
It doesn't stop it from analyzing thing. It doesn't stop it from running code. It just, in fact, it's probably still in a menu just in case you want to use it. It's probably still in the right click context menu or something. And the other feature that you're going to have that will be brought online, maybe, a couple versions later, is they are going to actually back up. Did you know what Google calls their address bar? The one bar to rule them all at
the
top.
The Wonder Bar?
You used to just be the place to type URLs, but then they were like, no, we also want you to be able to type search terms in it.
Yeah.
They call it the Omnibox.
The Omnibox.
They call it the Omnibox, which is, okay, that's, oh, whatever. You are going to, as soon as this feature rolls out to everybody, which will be probably next month, you will be able to type any question from AI into the Omnibox. And it is contextual, which means heuristic, which means they're probably going to feed everything you type to the AI, and then the AI will decide whether or not this is a question for the AI or a URL or a question for search. Actually, no. Google's getting out of the search game entirely. Everything that they think is a search query is probably going to go to the AI for soon. They don't say that in this particular article. I'm just extrapolating here. But basically, if it isn't strictly a URL in that box, then it's going to go to the Gemini AI, probably. Again, they don't say what. And then the AI will quickly answer your question. It will answer questions about content on a page. It will answer questions. You can use the chat box that comes up to click to ask about the page you're looking at. It will know how to synthesize information across multiple open tabs. So if anybody's like me and has 40 tabs open, this chatbot is going to frighten the hell out of me, because I'm going to type it and it's going to give me like a solution to a problem with trying to get a game running on Steam that I tried to get working 4 months ago and for never closed the tab. It'll be like, where the f- did that come from? They are going to implement, quote, advanced agentic capabilities for Gemini in Chrome that can perform multi-step tasks for you from start to finish, like ordering groceries. If you are enthusiastic about what AI can do for you, this is probably fantastic news. Frankly, it scares the hell out of me.
Well, using Chrome scares the hell out of me.
Well, I honestly don't use Chrome for anything, but
that was going to be my first thing. Like, why are you using Chrome? Question mark.
I'm not, but lots of people do. And when I look at something like this, the first place that I go is not where everyone else. Everyone else will look at this and be like, gosh, that's a really cool trick, or that's a neat parlor trick, or that's really convenient. And I look at it and I'd be like, how are you implementing this, and where are the security holes going to be, and where is it going to screw up my workflow? Because I'm both a cynic and also somebody who is a Ben who understands things like security threat models.
Yeah, exactly. And you just kind of look at this, and you know, AI itself is its own security. It introduces its own threat model. And, now companies are having to secure that shit. So it's like, okay, now we're having to spend more money on this AI because it's going to make our lives easier. We're going to have to spend more money to secure it. And how much are you going to spend to do that versus paying like a few extra humans to do something and maybe not piss off all your, everybody?
I'm going to be honest. The first technical question that concern that I suddenly have, and I am going to be worried about this for every Chrome browser from now on ever, is up until now, I've kind of behaved like different tabs in the browser have walls between them and they do not interact with each other. That's an important part of the security model. And more importantly, if I open up something for a job application, I don't necessarily want it pulling information out of my porn tabs. Or maybe I do, depending on where I'm applying.
Yeah, I don't want anything reading other than the only one thing I want reading my browser tabs is me. The web browser shouldn't be doing shit with my browser tabs.
So the very first thing that really concerns the hell out of me is this idea that Google is now just putting code in here that automatically has the ability to read everything in every tab and synthesize them, and that freaks me out.
Oh no, like, but it no. becomes its own, it becomes, it's another fucking security vulnerability. They're literally adding a security vulnerability because some asshole is going to figure out how to make that. It's like, oh, this person clicked on this tab and this tab and this tab, and it caused the AI to fucking, spit out, a bunch of threes or something. I don't know. I mean,
and the best, most benevolent thing they can possibly do with this is add to the fingerprinting data for your browser.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. As if they don't have enough of that already.
I can't be fingerprinted through JavaScript, but boy, I can be fingerprinted by the tabs that I've had open for 5 months.
Yeah. But see, that would also. Yeah, exactly.
There's a simple solution. It's called close your browser tabs.
I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Try turning it on and off again.
Yeah. I did. I've got the setting that says it reloads tabs when I reboot.
Sounds about right.
Cotton Gin weighs in with Lieberwolf.
Oh, it's just, yes, exactly. So, all right. Do we have any more? Does anybody, I have a couple more stories, but I assume somebody else has a story.
Well, Rye just delivered us a stack of shit. You go for the next pile.
I will go through the next pile. Okay, so all your vulnerabilities are belong to us because CISA wants to maintain government control of the CVE program. Now, this basically the government, of course, wants control of CVE, but like everybody else is going, U.S. government in charge of this kind of data. Holy crap. And so, of course, now there's competing, you know, there's complete.
That sounds like an argument for another database.
Yes.
This isn't unique. There's nothing in the inherent technology about reporting a database reporting vulnerabilities that says that there can only be one or that it has to be government run. You could start one tomorrow.
Oh, of course. Anybody can. Yeah. And it's just one of those things. It's like the government wants to government. And like,
of course they do.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I don't think there's, and you know, of course the story.
If they're good stewards of it, then people will use it. And if they're shitty stewards of it, somebody else will come up with something better.
That's the way it always works, right? It's what we call a problem that solves itself, right? I mean,
yeah, those things happen.
Yeah, they do. All your baser belong to us. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't pull any of the data from the story because I just thought it was silly. But okay, so.
That's what this show has been reduced to. We just react to headlines.
Yeah, I think that's what any show is anymore because it's just like.
Well, that's true. Because we're not unique.
Well, no.
We're not special.
No, we're not special, exactly. Because I know I was going through stories for Lotus this week and I was just like, and I'm just looking at some of these stories and I'm just like, I'm just like scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, it's just some of these stories, because it's the same shit. It's like, okay. How many times can I cover that, you know, or how many times can I talk about that?
As many as you still have listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I have one more story that I.
No. Okay. I'll jump in on this because I've got a story that seems like an extremely water is wet and you know shit Sherlock, because they're talking about a new danger when connecting to public Wi-Fi and what you need to know about it.
A new one.
Oh, yeah.
Most people aren't aware of all the old ones.
That's probably true. I don't find this to be all that new, but apparently there's a rise in evil twin network attacks for public Wi-Fi. And first and foremost, what's the easiest way to prevent this? Well, just don't use fucking public Wi-Fi. There's a reason that your phone has a hotspot feature on it, and most people don't use nearly the amount that they are allocated every month from their provider. So obviously, if you only connect to a network that you know and trust because it's your own via the hotspot, problem solved. But they're basically fapping about how the best way to stay protected from this is to double check,
leave your phone in the drawer.
Your phone in the drawer is a great way. No.
That's probably not what they recommend.
No. They basically talk about double checking the name of the SSID of the network to make sure it matches exactly. And, you know, don't be fooled by networks that have really generic names such as free Wi-Fi or public Wi-Fi.
FBI surveillance van is my favorite. Actually, the number one internet provider back in the day, Linksys.
You're old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
my stock recommendation, if you're taking your phone out, and I have, this might surprise you, I have been known once in a while to take my phone out of the house.
Do you take it for walks occasionally and pet it?
Yeah. Every once in a while, you know, it let it sniff other phones, et cetera. No, I don't. No. Keep your freaking Wi-Fi off unless you intend to use it. That's really good, clean advice.
Yeah, we talked about that at one time because there was a presentation done by a guy that worked for Phoneboy's company that anyone who had their Wi-Fi turned on during the presentation, which yours truly was smart enough not to, he was able to snatch information. I can't remember off the top of my head what info it was that he snatched
first of all, like literally every Wi-Fi network you've ever connected to, you broadcast when you're looking for
Yeah. What's the most important thing to do if you ever go to a Black Hat conference?
Don't bring any electronics with you.
Yeah. Do not ever bring your phone. Or if you have the phone, like, leave it in the hotel room, shut off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it won't be your phone.
That's right. Yes. I understand this. This is, yeah. Or, yeah, it's like the advice. I actually saw this internally. Somebody was talking about, like, how do you deal with, like, traveling to China? Well, yeah, pretty much take burner phones and don't use any, you know, use anything, you know, assume everything's compromised.
Like, a conference like Black Hat is, of course, a concentration of a whole lot of people who are trying to remotely destroy your stuff. But be aware that every technique that they're using tends to get out into the wild. Somebody out there is going to try to do that out in the wild when you're not expecting it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's just completely, yeah, you just kind of, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I that's another reason I don't want to go. Well, actually, the fact they've been doing it in Vegas and pretty much Vegas, I don't know if you've seen the stories, but Vegas is like got no tourists right now. Of course, as expensive as Vegas is and as shitty as the economy is, can anybody afford to be in Vegas right now? I mean, you know, just asking for a friend and such, you know.
So, you're asking for a friend. I don't have any to spare.
Yeah, neither do I. So that's okay. But, okay. So I have one more story.
Did Rye have any more stories?
No,
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I have the last story here. So this is how weak passwords and other failings led to catastrophic breach of Ascension. I actually have to figure out who this Ascension is.
I pulled this. Oh, kiss my ass. Pulled this.
Okay. So in a letter sent last week to FTC Chairman Andrew Ferguson, Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, said an investigation by his office determined that the hack began in February 2024 with the infection of a contractor's laptop after they downloaded malware from a link returned by Microsoft's Bing search engine. Yep. The attackers then pivoted from the computer device to Ascension's most valuable network asset, the Windows Active Directory, a tool administrators use to create and delete user accounts and manage system privileges of them. Obtaining control of the Active Directory is tantamount to obtaining a master key that will open any door in a restricted building. Yep. You own Active Directory, you pretty much own any organization. Thanks, have a nice day.
Yeah, Active Directory is a wonderful vulnerability farm.
Yes, well, an intro ID is not. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. I honestly, the thing that blows me away, that like the one thing that honestly surprises me, somebody uses Bing.
Well, yeah, I know it's hilarious, but I mean, this was a problem I ran into like 20 years ago. Is, you know, this because I wrote for like one of these content farm sites and you know that it's, you know how there's like 8 versions of the same story. Well, you know, we're 33 versions now. I don't know, but or actually there's 3,333 versions. They're all written by AI, but yeah, the idea being that they would occasionally get ads that guess what would serve malware. It happened on a couple of sites I wrote for at least one occasion. It's like, you know, you still haven't figured this shit out. Well, maybe, you know, maybe just running JavaScript is such a bad idea. Yeah, anyway, yeah, because we got to track and make sure everybody sees the ads. And anyway, yeah, okay, well, anyway, I think people are fucking done with this, and I'm done with this. I don't know about you all, but are we surprised that a company got organized by a thing here? You know,
how about you run JavaScript in my left nut?
That is great advice.
Yes,
exactly.
And no, I won't be enabling that either.
No. Well, I tell you what, we're gonna tell people to turn their fucking shit off because we're just gonna end this shit right here.
Okay, I actually lied. I've got one more story.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
I'm not gonna read you the story because this is all you need to do is react to the headline. But I'm gonna go ahead and tie this in to our earlier discussion about, you know, fatigue of all of the fancy gizmos and gadgets. We were talking about Internet of Things. I think this applies equally to AI, but I don't, you know, this one is particularly Internet of Things. Now, Internet of Things, I think we all agree, is not nearly as necessary as a lot of people think, and is also kind of a bed for various types of security threats. I mean, that isn't compelling to most people. Most people are just, hey, Alexa, please, you know, remove all my security.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean people don't want this. Yeah, they want the convenience. So, they don't want the security.
So what do you do? How can you possibly get people to maybe take a second look at all this fancy new technology and go, you know, maybe I don't need that? Obviously, scaring them with security holes isn't working. Telling them that you don't need the ability, an app to turn off the lights instead of walking 4 feet, doesn't convince people. How can we possibly switch up the incentives to make people go, you know, I'm not sure I need all this Internet of Things smart devices bullshit?
How about burn down their house?
Well, I mean, that will work on a one-by-one basis. Or if you're Gavin Newsom, you can do it in a neighborhood at a time.
Yeah, but, exactly.
No, Samsung has the idea.
Well, leave it to Samsung. You know, they're the wannabe Apple.
Yep, they have the idea. They have figured out, how do we finally get people to slow down and go, maybe I don't need all of this smart home bullshit.
How about you stop selling it?
They're rolling out ads for your fridge.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That particular article, I didn't read that much of it, but I read the first part of the article where The Verge is like, and Samsung told The Verge back in April that they had no plans to put ads on their internet-connected screens in the kitchen. Like, yeah, well, we all know what no plans means in Silicon Valley speak. It means, yeah, we're probably going to do it in a few months, but not right now.
Why do you need your fridge to be internet-facing? Asking for a friend.
I don't.
I truly don't find there to be any value in my fridge being connected to the IoT.
Dame and I were actually fridge shopping because our current fridge is 19 years old. And although it's still running fairly well, we don't know how long that's going to continue. And while we were fridge shopping, we were looking for a bunch of really cool features. But I tell you what, every single time we walked past a fridge and there was a screen on the front, we just kept walking. Just no.
Yeah, no is a complete sentence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want my appliances to be as dumb as possible, and my printer, I got a shotgun aimed at it at all times. Yeah.
So Samsung is going to start roll. And by the way, you don't have to go buy a new fridge for this, because that you know if you bought a fridge and connected it to your Wi-Fi that has a screen on it, they are just sending software updates to your fridge. Your fridges are going to start displaying ads in your kitchen. Yeah, that's right.
Oh my
your
God.
Kitchen is not sacred. You will be getting ads if you have a Samsung fridge in your kitchen connected to Wi-Fi. They will just send an over-the-air update, and then you're just going to get advertisements.
You mean like Roku?
Maybe people are cool with that. Yeah,
Roku,
the kind of people who run Roku and are like, oh yeah, I'm totally okay with 24% of my time being dedicated to having propaganda beamed into my head. I'm not okay with that, but you know, some people are. I just feel like security didn't work. Telling people that this is stupid didn't work. Telling people that you don't need it didn't work. Telling people to get some exercise and walk across the room once in a while didn't work. Maybe when your kitchen is blaring ads at you like some kind of fucking gas pump, maybe that will finally tell people, you know, I'm not sure I need a screen on my fridge.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because the thought that I was having was, if you have a screen on your fridge, you deserve exactly what this is doing. Coupled with the fact of, I'm sorry, but during the commercial breaks when you're watching the idiot box, isn't that when you're going to the kitchen? So you're kind of eliminating the point of an ad break because you're going from one fucking ad to another fucking ad. And what is the ad? Hi, we see you've entered the kitchen. Do you need mayonnaise?
Well, if previous technologies are any indication, the first thing you're going to get is twit ads, where you walk into the kitchen 10 times in the day, you see the same ad because their payload isn't going to be very big. It's going to be for stuff that you would never want. It's going to be for audible.com. But, you know, eventually, as the Samsung people work very, very hard to try to sell ad slots in your kitchen, eventually they'll start having, you know, things like recycled ads for Super Bowl from 2007. They'll have, you know, an ad here or there for an ISP. It's still shit you don't need, but this is advertisement. This is how it works.
Yeah, but this is a perfect opportunity
like
also
10 years down
for
the
algos to advertise to you, because obviously if this thing is internet facing, it's got to have some kind of interface that has like a Siri or an Alexa built in. With, let's see, with it being Samsung, it would be Alexa. So Alexa's always listening. So when you're talking to your husband, Bob, in the kitchen about the fact that you really need to get some mustard and some cucumbers and olive oil, and don't ask what the last two are for, Alexa can tell you what's on sale at the local Kroger through her fucking ads on your fridge.
Well, I don't think the ads on the fridge are going to do that. But as soon as they put AI in the fridge, then yes, that's exactly what it's going
to
do.
I still don't understand why my fridge needs to be connected to the fucking internet.
Be surprised if we don't see...
What's that story that I dropped in?
Did you drop in a story?
Oh, no, I just dropped a link for one of the... from 2024. I just remembered it from... Because I may not have done an ATN about it, but it was from the CES in 2024. Samsung announced that they have an AI fridge that knows what's inside your fridge and will give you, you can talk to it and it'll give you, and this was before the current AI boom really got going, but.
Does it also put it on your shopping list for you so that when you go to the store and pull up your shopping list, it's automatically there?
If you give it your Amazon or Instacart credentials, then yeah, I'm sure that there will be an incarnation that it will just automatically order it.
Oh my God, like the CVS commercial.
And then the vulnerability
where you pulled
something
off the shelf and it immediately replenished itself.
And then the vulnerability is going to be you're going to walk outside and find, you know, 60 gallons of milk on your front door or something.
Well, my initial thought when you said giving it your Instacart credentials or whatever, you know, yeah, because your credit card is connected to said Instacart credentials.
Absolutely.
That can't at all, no hackers would ever hack a refrigerator for those credentials. No, surely you just.
Oh, no. Smart devices have always been fully secure. We've never done a story except, you know, every 5 minutes about some smart device having security holes.
Yes, it's full of goatsy and fails, I like to say.
Yeah.
I need to write that. That actually needs to be a show title, Goatsy and Fail.
So that's all I've got is, if you have a screen in your kitchen, congratulations, there will be ads on it.
Yes. Well, if I have a screen, the only screen we have in the kitchen is when we're looking up a recipe or something when we're cooking, and that's about it. That's,
The only I have like actually a display in my kitchen. It's a big window opened up to the outdoors.
Yeah, that's
the only screen, and there's a screen on it. So that's the only screen I want in my kitchen.
Yeah. By the way, I 100% agree with you. I wish we had that in our kitchen. Unfortunately, in a condo, there's no windows.
Oh my God, this place feels like a fucking cave.
Yeah, exactly. But all right. Well, I think since we now have determined that nobody has any more stories, I guess we're done now, right? Is it?
I think that's where we're at.
Okay. So I guess I can hit the magical clip, and we'll see you next time for another 2.5 bends.
It's game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?